Welcome to the Six Ways to Sunday podcast, hosted by award-winning television director, documentary filmmaker, author, and speaker Craig D. Forrest. Join Craig for the next few minutes as he interviews leaders, artists, and creatives about trends and insights shaping our digital world and faith-based media. This podcast is produced and brought to you by Matchstick Media International. Now, here's Craig.
What a treat to have TV producer, creative, boulevardier, a man of the boulevard, Andy Freeman. And welcome to the podcast, Andy.
Thank you so much, Craig. I hope you were going to put Rock on Tour in there too.
Oh, that's coming up. Depends. We'll do that at the end. We'll see how the stories go.
All right.
Good. Andy and I are similar in some ways that we have a long career, many decades, popping from place to place, different clients and such. Although he's moved around the globe and the map more than I have, but he's worked for all kinds of wonderful ministries. We'll talk about that in a minute. Now, Andy, this is no secret to people that know Andy. Andy grew up in Chicago, right? Talk about that.
Absolutely. I'm a product of the Windy City, and I have not lived there since 1978. However, I do get back every once in a while. I love it with all my heart. And anywhere I travel or anywhere the Lord has me put up my tent stakes, I always try and find a good Chicago hot dog and a thick, deep dish pizza.
Oh, there you go. I was going through Chicago Airport a few years ago and between flights, and I made the huge mistake of going to one of the hot dog stands or carts at Chicago Airport, and I asked for ketchup on my hot dog. And the guy looked at me like, "You're not from here." And he almost didn't hand me the hot dog. I still remember that you have to do it a certain way or have a Polish dog, however that goes. You'll have to send me notes on all that so I won't make a faux pas.
I'll help you next time. I was going to say most of those hot dog restaurants in Chicago have signs up outlawing ketchup and they won't distribute it.
That's right. So I'll have to watch for that in the future. Hey, you know what? I don't know where you first went to college. I know you ended up at Regent as well. Did you start at Regent or was it another college?
No, I started my undergrad work was at Northeastern Illinois University, which was on the north side of Chicago State School. People always confused it. You go another 30 minutes and you get to a school you've heard of called Northwestern. Mm-hmm, right. And people would always look at that prestige because they had a big communication journalism program. They say, "Oh, you went to Northwestern." And I'd say, "No, I went 30 minutes and $50,000 south of there."
So that's right. Yeah, it's $50,000 less, by the way, anybody that's because Northwestern is not an inexpensive education by any means. What was the education like? What did you enjoy your time there at Northeastern?
I did, and actually, to be just threadbare honest here, I was a speech and the performing arts major, and somewhere along the way, I realized I didn't want to be a starving actor and I didn't want to teach. And then I had been raised in the church by my mother. And then as soon as I met my Catholic neighborhood buddies in eighth grade, I was hell on wheels for 7.5 years. Mm-hmm. So the junior year there at the State University, between junior and senior year that summer, through some wonderful people would call them coincidences, but it was really just the hounds of heaven kind of chasing me home. I made an adult commitment to turn my life over to Christ. And then I learned about Regent, which you mentioned, and I realized I think I always piddled around playing around with media on campus in Illinois, but never as the idea of a profession or a degree. And so that's when I went off to graduate school in Virginia.
There you go. A lot of people don't know, and I'm old enough to remember it, that Regent actually started out as CBN University and then a few years down the line changed its name to Regent, which sounds pretty good and sounds much better. When you got there, the master's program was pretty good, wasn't it?
When I got there, the master's program began. I was in the first graduating class.
Wow.
And I was there 78 to 80, and I absolutely loved it, but I often complain to my mentors later on, because in most graduate programs, had I gone somewhere else, you would have either done, a deep dive style dissertation, or you would have done some intensive examinations in the paper, or you would have done some kind of creative project. And they were trying to gain the recognition and approval of the educational bodies. So they decided the fastest way to do that was to make their graduates do all three. So they truly put us through the ringer. And I'm glad for the experience, but when I found out later I could have done one of three, I was a little disappointed in the high bar they set.
Well, you know, that ship has left, as Walt Disney. No, that ship has sailed, is what Walt Disney would say. It's already gone down south of the equator, and you're not bringing that ship back. But also, for those of us that started early in the 70s in Christian communication and TV, there weren't a lot of TV networks back then. They were mostly fledgling. Going to get a master's degree was a big thing back there, wasn't it?
Yeah, in Vegas terms, they'd have called that a crapshoot. But I knew it was something I wanted to do, whether I ended up working in the commercial or academic or, if you will, nonprofit or religious lane. But I also knew that I wanted to learn more about my newfound faith as an adult, along with the idea of film, television, and radio. So Regent was kind of the perfect match for that.
Very, very good. Now, while you were at Regent, I don't know enough of your history, which is a great reason to be a curious guy like me. Did that lead to working for Christian Broadcasting Network?
It did, but it's funny because, Craig, when I left Chicago, we had a budding independent station based downtown, WCFC.
Jerry Rose.
Yep. Jerry Rose, that's right. And between my first and second year of grad school, they actually called me and pitched me on coming to work for them. Okay. And at the time, I was dating a beautiful young lady in the registration office who became my wife, and we celebrated 43 years recently. But I decided for the romance and against the job, and I told them, I said, let me contact you in about 9 months after I have my master's degree completed. Well, you know how the ups and downs of television. By the time I had my degree, they had filled the positions, and so it just happened that CBN was going through an incredible growth phase, and they invited me into the Christian Broadcasting Network.
Where did you start at CBN?
Oh, baby, I was a production assistant. I was punching stopwatches and running, Vitafont. I don't know if you guys remember that software. Mm-hmm. But so I was doing the titling on screen, running the watch, printing the scripts, catching the errors, and it was actually a good start, because on one elbow you've got the AD, on the other elbow you've got the director and TD, so you can soak up a lot in that position.
Assistant director and TD would be the technical director that sits at the switcher, for those that don't know, and takes the cues from the director, says, ready, camera one and three, and I'll take one and three. Mm-hmm. And I've done this live. Hello, Craig. You push the wrong button because you were thinking of something else, and everybody else gets color bars or whatever it is that you pushed. What a great, great laboratory for you.
Since you just told your little story, let me tell you mine. Okay, ask me what my mistake was in the first 6 months of the job.
Okay.
I was working on a show called The 700 Club, which people may or may not know. And at the time, it was a 90-minute program. And so it was going out on satellite television, but also was being sent to a lot of stations that took it down and then re-aired it. Anyway, some aired it live, and I had to count out the break between the hour and the final half hour. And when you're young, and when the director's yelling and the producer is throwing his script, 55-55 can look a lot like 56-55. So I took the program out a minute early into the break nationwide, and we managed to bring the show back a minute early. So I managed to survive that without having my head handed to me. So that was my badge of courage.
And hopefully you still have that head. Otherwise, we're not talking to you. There you go. I've said many times that in Christian work, they look for redemption, but in secular work, they look for results. Those are my two R's for all that. So you're a production assistant, and obviously you worked your way up. How did that go?
Well, it's interesting because I did spend a lot of time early on in production. I moved from production assistant. I actually moved into unit management or production management, and so started to work on the budgeting and staffing of shows. And they had me on that track. And I, just to be honest, it was great, but I got a little bored after 11 months. And so positioned back in the production staff as an assistant director happened. So I took that. And then I also began to do a little switching on pre-recorded stuff so they could safeguard me. But then one day, I forgot when it was, but a gentleman was working in the marketing and promotion department. And he said, this is no offense to all my production friends, but he said, you're too creative to do that. He said, you need to become a producer. He said, you've got good writing skills. You've got good visual ideas. He said, why don't you come work with me on the promotions of all the programming for the Christian Broadcasting Network? So I took that step. And that was in 1985. And so from 85 forward, I moved from production into the writing and producing and creating of programming, commercials, content.
I started out at PTL Television, which later became...
Praise the Lord. Yes, it's time to lift our voices. I won't do the whole thing.
That's okay. It brings back all these memories that I had forgotten. So it's all good. This is actually cheaper than therapy. Thank you, Andy. But I started out as a 21-year-old writer doing promos, network promos. And a month into it, they said, would you like to be a producer too? Because it's a two-man operation. We need someone, or one-man operation. And we'd like, can you do some promos? I go, yeah, there's something, and maybe you can talk about this. Whenever someone in television says, can you do it, or you're available or whatever, the answer always is yes. It's yes, until you figure out maybe that you can't do it, but it's always yes. Am I right on that?
That's absolutely true. And if we were on the other side, basically that's the way to get tested for a promotion without getting additional pay.
Absolutely true. You take on more than you should ever have done because you kept saying yes. So you did promos. And what was that like?
Well, that was a lot of fun. And I was pushing the envelope a little bit. I remember one time I got a look from Pat and Ben and the on-air team of the 700 Club. We were going to have Little Richard on, and it would have been very easy at that time. Little Richard was kind of in a testimony preaching mode. But I thought, we got to do something to jump out on the air schedule and get people to tune in. So I grabbed Tutti Frutti, the old clip of it from about 1958-59, and I used that as the hook into telling his story, into telling people to watch the 700 Club. And it turned out to be a great promo. I also then got some feedback from folks above me saying, we don't really do rock and roll promos that way, you know, for the 700 Club. And I was young enough, and I guess unmolded enough to think whatever looks good, whatever feels good, whatever grabs you, that's going to bring you to the show. And you know what? I didn't get that carved out of me. I still believe that to this very day.
You know, it's easy in both the secular and in the Christian media world, but especially in the Christian media world, there are so many doctrinal rules of what you can and you can't do, and that stifles creativity. And sometimes it's fun to go hang out there on the edge of the cliff for a little while And it sounds to me, from what you just said, that you never gave up that interest in let's do something fresh and new, not because it's fresh and new, but it's because maybe that's really the way to hook people, like you said.
Well, you know, if we look at our commercial or secular competitors, that's what they're always looking. They're looking for a way to break through, right, Craig, to get your attention for just a few seconds and to convince you to dive into something deeper with them, whether it's a TV series, whether it's a live event, whether it's a movie. And so why wouldn't we do the same? Even though we've been rewired from our heart to our mind because of a relationship with Jesus, doesn't mean we don't still have some of those same attractions and humanities that say, oh, that looks interesting, and I'd like to check that out.
You know, a thought just occurred to me while you were talking about, you know, ways to check things out. You're somewhat newly married to your wonderful wife of now 43 years, who worked in the registrar or on such at Regent. And she was not a TV person, was she? And what did she think about your journey in working in TV?
Well, that's a great question. I used to tease people. They said, how did you get so lucky to meet Teresa and become man and wife? I said, I knew it was the only way I was going to get through graduate school. I said, I didn't think I had the grades. But that's another story. And we wouldn't want to make any jokes projecting me as a cheater. So I did do all the work. But she loved it. She found it very exciting. And, you know, it's funny. Along the way, Craig, Teresa has moonlighted doing props and art design and transcription and all kinds of different projects and media. From what you said earlier, you know, a lot of times something's got a smaller budget or it's got a tight deadline. They don't have time to find something. And Teresa just stepped in and said, oh, I transcribe at 160 words a minute. And people are like, "Ooh, well, come on, let's do that." Or she said, one time we were doing the Huckabee Show and we had a group of Hee-Haw veterans on and they wanted to do the old cornfield bit with all the stale jokes, the old jokes, but there was no more cornfields. So Teresa built one and she did such a good job that they were actually going out on tour for a year doing a stage show, and they purchased the cornfield away from TBN, who were making the Huckabee Show, and they used it on the road for a year.
I did not know that. Interesting.
So she was a big supporter.
There you go. Well, she's hired. You know, just hire the woman. And if you can't hire her, just go ahead and marry her. So there you
That's
go. That's right. You know what? She'll make a wonderful wife. I just know it. And probably a wonderful mother of children. So there you go. Really enjoying the conversation with TV producer Andy Freeman. Join us in the next episode. We'll pick up where we left off.
You've been listening to the Six Ways to Sunday podcast with Craig D. Forrest, brought to you by Matchstick Media International, dedicated to excellence in media through inspiration, vision, and education. To learn more, visit us on the web at matchstickmedia.org. That's matchstickmedia.org. Your generous donations, large or small, help defray costs for producing this creative podcast. Thanks for listening and subscribing.